Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Ulama Profile this Thursday evening, the 15th of August, with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Every now and then, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala inspires us by giving us personalities that have served the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life to the extent that their service has been acknowledged, their service has been seen, that the effect of their effort in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been recognized. And one salient feature perhaps of almost every alim that we speak to is that by and large they have been born in the deen, they grew up in their environment, and their parents, their family, their support structure inspired them, encouraged them, mentored them to be able to take up the cudgels of studying the hifz, the alim course, and graduating. Today it's somewhat different, and uniquely different, and may I add, amazingly different. And that is, today's profile is of a person who was not born in the deen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him to become a person who has accepted the faith. Then Allah inspired him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him, that he had then taken the shahada, had gone to learn about the deen, qualified and graduated as an alim, and served sincerely and quietly the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that particular personality is Murana Adam Umtolo, whom rahmatullahi alayhi, whom we will profile this evening. We have four guests that will be joining us. If you knew Murana, a message would be appreciated. If we could get a message from yourself, the number is 071-878-9748. Alternatively, give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Brother Usama is always willing to take your call. And to begin today's program, we have the principal as well as the Sheikhul Hadith, where Morana had studying, Morana Yaqub Veli, who has joined us, will then speak about the life of Morana Adam Umtolo. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Morana, Allah Ta'ala bless you. I know it's your week off, but the ulama in the Darul Uloom make great sacrifice. Allah reward you and all the ulama that are teaching, Mawlana.
No problem, inshallah. We're ready for khidmat.
Jazakallah, Mawlana. Mawlana, one of your students, Mawlana Adam Umtolo, perhaps you can just give us a brief background on to Mawlana, and then we can carry on with regards to his life, Mawlana.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Firstly, Mawlana Adam Umtolo, rahmatullahi alayhi, graduated in our madrasa at around 2012. And he hails from Pietermaritzburg, and he came to study in the madrasa at a very young age. I think if I can recall correctly, he was in around 1999-2000, around there, he joined us. And together with him, there were added three, I think, students as well, from a township outside Pietermaritzburg called Edendale. And these youngsters accepted Islam on the hands of a sheikh whose name I can't remember now because many years has elapsed, who sent him to our madrasa to basically get the ibtidai ta'lim and to learn some diniyat, etc. So these boys arrived from Pietermaritzburg around 1999-2000, if I can get that, if I can remember correctly. And they enrolled in the madrasa, alhamdulillah, and they studied, and they came from the beginning. That means they studied from the Alif Ba, from the Bidayah, and alhamdulillah, they were very fortunate that at that time, my late father-in-law, Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, was their first tutor, who was a wali of his time. So that's how, that's a small history as far as the watan, where they came from, and their background. They came, come up from a township outside Pietermaritzburg called Edendale. That's where they hail from.
Alhamdulillah. Mawlana, they studied in your madrasa for about, if I'm just seeing the date, about 12 years, Mawlana?
That's correct, Ji. 12 to 13 years, Ji. That's correct.
Alhamdulillah. Mawlana, Allah Ta'ala reward you for all the good work that you have been doing. Perhaps you want to give us some insight with regards to Mawlana's the days as a student in your madrasa?
Yeah. Well, from the beginning, they learned Quran Sharif under the auspices of Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali. And the Maulana was a master in training students who don't know anything from the beginning, because he taught Maktab for about 40 years. So he was... He had a lot of experience in training the youngsters how to read Quran. So in a matter of like 6 months, from start Alif Ba, they could look inside and read the Quran. So they learned to recite the Quran Sharif, look inside. And also, besides the Diniyat part of it and the Ibtidai Ta'lim, we also send them to school as well. And most of the children nowadays, when they come from the indigenous community, then the parents require them to get also a secular education. So we have made arrangements for that as well, and we sent them to the high schools in our area, and we transport them every day to go and get secular education. So he was one of those students, and together with he matriculated also in Harding Secondary School, and he also learned all his diniyat in our madrasa and ibtidai ta'lim. But after he graduated, alhamdulillah, there was a keen desire to attain higher education as far as Islamic studies is concerned. So he enrolled in the alim course. He was like from the first batch of students to enroll in the alim course. And his personality was, in fact, I would probably say one of the best personalities he had. He was a very, very soft person. He wasn't that Jangyu type of Zulu, warrior type. He was totally opposite to that. He was a very soft person, always smiling, and very, very respectful in the manner he respected the ustaz, and always wanting to make khidmat. And he would be very attentive in the class, and he tried his level best in the class as well. He wasn't a student that we had to push through the class. So alhamdulillah, he done pretty well. He understood the dars. He was versatile in English because he was a matriculant. And alhamdulillah, we found that he was benefiting. And he studied his 5 years under the asatiza in our madrasa, and he finished his alim course from the beginning to the end. But I think what rubbed off on him was the piety of Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his first ustad, senior ustad who taught him. And we could see throughout his studying career, he was very close to me. He made a lot of khidmat for me, and I really appreciated it from the bottom of his heart. And also, he had a lot of mubasharat as a student. He saw a lot of good dreams. And he even saw Jannat in his dream as a student. So these are the good mubasharat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with. And I can't fault him as a student in any way whatsoever. And in fact, I'm only grateful to Allah ta'ala that he has sent us such good and inspiring students to study here in our madrasa.
No, definitely, Maulana. One of the things that perhaps we all have to acknowledge is that the sacrifice and the qurbani and the great challenges the indigenous students that come to the madrasa have got to go through, and really we would like to acknowledge them and make them feel that the sacrifices are noteworthy, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will take a lot of work for them, inshallah.
Absolutely, inshallah. In fact, their lives, how they come in and the transformation, etc., is remarkable actually, because once the dawlat of Quran and Hadith gets embedded in the heart, then you can see that having an effect on their zahir as well, in which their entire lives becomes transformed in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, and he was a beautiful candidate for that. I can vouch for that, Jay.
No, definitely. Maulana, he graduated and thereafter in 2012. Thereafter, he served the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps some information on that, Maulana?
In fact, his story is a bit, there's a background to this. I asked him what he would like to do after graduation, whether he would like to teach somewhere, should we find him a space or some place to teach a musalla or a masjid or something like that to make imam. But he felt he doesn't want to tie himself down. So it so happened in that time after he graduated, the late Maulana Abdul Qadir from Harrison, Bayat, Rahmatullahi, also he was contemporary of mine from Darul Falah Darin. So Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Daman Barakatuhum told him to serve in the Eastern Cape area. So because we are right on the border of the Eastern Cape area, he phoned me and told me, Mustaba, I need to see you. So I told him, you're welcome. So he came to Harding, and we sat and we discussed. So he said he will need some personnel on the ground to serve the Eastern Cape. So the first person that came to mind was Maulana Adam Mtolo, because obviously a lot of mehnat was made on his ta'aleem and his tarbiyat, so we felt that he's the correct candidate for that job. So I called him and told him that Maulana, the community requires them, the ulama require that you serve in the Eastern Cape community. So for this year, alhamdulillah, he put up his hand and he agreed. And he told me he's ready to serve. So apparently what happened was that he settled in Cokstad, which was a very central town for the Eastern Cape, for all the small towns around Cokstad, like Mount Aleph, Mount Frere, Bizana, and Matatiel, and all that whole entire area and region. Maulana was prepared to serve there. So how it happened was that Maulana Abdul Qadir Bayat Sahab Rahmatullahi gave me a small sum of money, and he told me that I should give Maulana the money for his transport, and he should use the money to go and give bayans and lectures and do dawat work in the Eastern Cape. So he left that money with me. So I told Maulana that you must come and collect some money from me, this amanat, and this amanat is for you to utilize. So he came once or twice. I gave him some money. Thereafter, he bought a small car. He was doing some itar business, and then he stopped coming for money. So I even phoned him once or twice and told him, Maulana, that, you know, there's some amanat here, that amanat, we kept it for you, and so that you can serve the community. But he was so mustaghni, and so much of ikhlas Allah Ta'ala had given him, that from his own earnings, he should sell itar, that he used his own money to serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala in the Eastern Cape region, right up till his last breath. And for that, I would say that he has left a great lesson for all of us, that my Ustad Maulana Abrasa Rahmatullah Alayhi used to always say that you should go to the, a lot of ulama go to the big towns and the big cities and the big masajid to make khidmat, but you must also go with your own money to the small little towns, because they are Muslims there and they also need to be served, and they also have imani taqaveh. That's what his words used to be. So all my students, I always mention this to them, that please go to the small towns with your own money. So I think that struck a chord with him, and he never came back to collect one cent from me. And he used his own money in all the years that passed to go around to give it his programs. And whenever I would meet him, I would ask him that how is the khidmat going, and he should always say with a smiling face, he would never complain. It was one of his hobbies. He would never complain, and he always had a smile on his face. He said, things are going very well, Mushtaq. And yes, year and day, if he had some challenges, then he would discuss it with me, and then we would give him some direction. And alhamdulillah, he settled in well in that whole environment. He done a lot of work, and the feedback that we got from the communities, they appreciated the khidmat that he made over the years. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that he uses him as a means of our Zareen Najat in Akhirat.
Ameen, Ameen.
He is probably one of the best youngsters I've come across, whereby I felt that we could rely on him, and he was somebody, he was our ambassador in the Eastern Cape, and it will be very hard to replace him.
Manana?
Hello?
Yes? Hello?
Hello?
Ji, Maulana, carry on.
Ji, are you with me, Maulana?
Ji, Maulana, Muslim.
What I was saying that, alhamdulillah, he was our link to the Eastern Cape, and he served that entire area, and he was unknown to anybody, but in his way, he served the deen of Allah Ta'ala right till his last breath. Just one day before he passed away also, I spoke to him, and his spirits were high, but obviously he wasn't well. So I was preparing to see him, but Allah Ta'ala had other things in store for him, and probably the Jannat which he had seen in his dream. Then I think that culminated. We make dua Allah, give him the highest maqam in Jannat. So he served the deen of Allah Ta'ala without any name, without any fame, without any recognition, and he done it with his own money and with his own time and with his own enthusiasm right up to his last breath. So I think we can all take lesson from that Allah Ta'ala chooses whoever he wishes for the khidmat of his deen, and Allah can use any person take him out from where and make him reach to the highest maqam. And alhamdulillah, I would say that he was one of our best students, alhamdulillah.
Maulana, jazakallah so much for your time and really inspiring us. Is there anything that Maulana would like to add on before we go on to some of the other callers, Maulana?
I would just like to say that Maulana passed away at a young age of 32. But the day before he passed away, the Jamaat went to see him and he spoke about the Sahaba. He had great love for the Sahaba. And it is an eye-opener. Allah gives hidayat to whoever he wishes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once the iman reaches the deep recesses of the heart, then that iman becomes powerless, and then Allah ta'ala uses whoever he wishes. So therefore, we as human beings on this earth, we should always be humble, and we should always be kind to the makhluk of Allah ta'ala, and we should always try and uplift the deen wherever we are, in whichever way we can. And if we can't do it directly, then indirectly, somehow or the other, so that on the day of Qiyamah, when we stand in front of Allah Ta'ala, then we can say that we tried, we made a broken effort. So these are the things. Maulana inspired me. I loved him from the depth of my heart. There are more things that I can't share on air. That was a very personal nature regarding Maulana. But what I would say is that I loved him as my son, because we grew him up. And we saw him growing up from a young boy to becoming a man, becoming an alim, and becoming so dedicated to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. This has inspired me. And also, I think we are happy for him that he has reached Allah Ta'ala, but we are sad on his furqat, that we are separated now. And but nevertheless, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that he makes his maghfirat and give him Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen. Maulana, jazakumullah. Allah Ta'ala keep on taking good work from you, and please make a lot of dua for us. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you, and Allah Ta'ala keep on giving you such students that will serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so sincerely and so quietly, in a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. Jazakallah so much for your time, Maulana.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Respected, was Maulana Yaqub Bali, the principal, the Muhtameem, and the Sheikh al-Hadith of the Darul Uloom, and Maulana was speaking with regards to one of his students that had passed away. There's so much to unpack from there. There's so much for us to take lesson from there, for each one of us. Perhaps just something to dwell on while we're waiting for the next guest to come on. And that is, we have the next guest on, Maulana. We have Maulana Abdullah on the line. Maulana, assalamu alaikum. Okay, why do Sama is Maulana Saeed, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, you live on air with myself, Ubaidullah Boja.
Oh, mashallah. Wa alaikum assalam and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners of the Radio Islam International.
Maulana, tell me, you knew Maulana Adam Mtolo very well, Maulana?
Inshallah, I can say that very, very, very well, but we were quite close, very close from our student days till after we completed our studies here in Harding. He completed under Mufti Yaqub Vadi here in Harding. We were students, but though he was 1 year ahead of me, but we met with Maulana Adam, Adam Tara has mentioned him. We met in 2009 when I came to the madrasa here in Harding. So from there, we were students. We were quite close, though they were 1 year ahead of us, big boys. But alhamdulillah, there was always a ta'aduk between us as students. And the thing, what I can say is that Maulana Adam, from one of the things I can say, maybe that I really, really, really learned from him, was that he was very, by all means, whenever we were traveling, wherever we were going, he was very strict, like with about Salah, with Jama'ah. That hey, Maulana, let's make fast and make sure that we cover the time for Salah with Jama'ah. This is one of the things that I always remember with him, inshallah.
Maulana, what was his personality and his akhlaq like?
What I can say is that, just to sum it up, there is an Arabic saying that we learn from our asatiza, which says, "An ni'ma إذا فقدت عرفت. النعمة إذا فقدت عرفت. That a blessing or a bounty, only when it is lost or when it is gone, we only realize the value of it. A blessing or a bounty, only when it is gone or when it is lost, only we realize the value of it. Mulana Adam, I don't know how to explain it. He was like a silent soldier. He was always, whenever I've seen him in these 10 years, one of the things that is regarding the akhlaq, he was a very humble person, but also a person who is straightforward, and he will talk whatever is in his heart. He wouldn't be a person who would be backbiting. He will always try and voice his concerns, but in a very humble way. He was a very, very humble person. And at all times in these 10 years that I knew him, he was always like in topi, kurta, and sunnah, which is something which is very, very difficult for us as Zulu, Xhosa, Sotho, indigenous Muslim, because of the pressure in our communities. It's not easy, but always, Mulana, whenever I met him, I've always seen him in topi, kurta, and full of humility, and like a silent soldier of Allah Ta'ala.
Mulana, you are all soldiers of the deen of Allah. Please do carry on serving so hard in the areas you all are doing. Perhaps many people don't know, but Allah Ta'ala is so aware of you, and Allah Ta'ala take more and more work from you, and Allah Ta'ala grant you al-afiyat in everything that you do, inshallah.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala bless you. Jazakallah so much, Mulana.
Ameen. Jazakallah. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Marana Sa'id, one of the colleagues of Marana Adam Imtolo. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make it such that we can take inspiration from them. There's so many lessons that I'm trying to just jot down as we speaking, and perhaps we could share it then with the listeners at the end again. We have Mufti Niyaz on the line of Kitab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana, when I spoke to you, you were very eager to speak about Mulana Adam Mtolo.
Yes, definitely. Alhamdulillah.
Mulana, let's share with the listeners who Mulana is and what he had, and how can the listeners understand and appreciate Mulana's contribution to the Ummah.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran jazilan for this opportunity. Alhamdulillah. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala kulli hal, in every condition, in times of ease and also in times of difficulty. Mulana Adam al-Marhum, Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on his soul, inshallah. Ameen. Mulana Adam was, how I know him in particular, we started our first year together, alhamdulillah, and we were from our first year right up till we finished our Dora and completed our Alim course, alhamdulillah. That was in 2012. And Mulana was with us. It was me, Mulana Abdullah, and Mulana Muhammad and Mulana Sulaiman Wali. So alhamdulillah, we know Mulana and we spent quite few times with him in particular. But how I know him in particular, he was a person that have great ta'aluk with Mufti Yaqub Wali and his asatiza. He had some great ta'aluk with him. And in particular, for example, he had best of both worlds. He had his ta'aluk with Mufti Saab and with his teachers of this, of Akhira, of Dini knowledge, and also as far as Dunyawi with a little bit of work. And Mawlana Mufti Yaqub Wali, our Hafizahullah Mufti, has trusted him with many affairs, alhamdulillah. That's how we know him. and has always asked him to, for assistance and so forth. And Mufti Yaqub Wali loved him a lot. And he was a person always that used to, as many of his other colleagues will say, used to love to speak of the Sahaba, Allahu Akbar. Normally a person would think that a person, only when you're born a Muslim, then maybe you have this vigor and interest in Sahaba, but you would never actually say he was a person that embraced, or so he had that true love for the Sahaba, Allahu Akbar. And it's just, like we said, Asabru in the Sadbatul Ula. There's many things that we can speak of, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, inshallah ta'ala.
Well, if you were to remember one thing or one incident that really took your breath away with regards to Morana Adam, what would that be, Morana?
There's quite a few, but there was two or three dreams that he had. He had, like, good dreams. He always had good dreams. And the first person he would always come to say the dreams is Mufti Yaqub Wali. In the mornings when we used to come, the first person he used to say is Mufti Yaqub Wali. And Mufti Yaqub Wali will always be very, very happy with that dreams, and he would give him glad tidings with that dreams, Allahu Akbar. And one dream was that the interpretation of the dream was that Mufti Yaqub Wali told him that that's actually a glad tidings of Jannah.
Subhanallah.
And Allahu Akbar. And Mufti Yaqub Wali always told him, you know, you don't tell everybody your dream, you know, otherwise the ruhaniyat of the dream will go away, and so forth. So, alhamdulillah, there's many, many other. But how do I know him? I know him a person that used to jog in the morning after Fajr. He always used to take a jog, and we were studying in Hadin, and Hadin has nice trees and tropical environment. So he used to love jogging in the mornings, and in during the afternoons, and in class times, he would be in class. And he was a person that he had a very good balanced life. And what I also know about him is that he would not actually take any money for the service of Allah Ta'ala's deen, you know. That is not how Maulana is, al-Marhum. He was a person that surely if he do something, and if he had need money, he would work for his own money. Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
No. He had a very good balanced life. And I'm actually, I won't say shocked, but as we know, Asabru in the Sadmatul Ula, we don't know the condition. Allah Ta'ala knows best. But he was, according to how I know him, he was a very fit person. He was very fit and very healthy in his demeanor and in his way, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him, inshallah.
No, definitely, Morana. When a person's time comes, there is no delaying in the time.
No.
Allah Ta'ala knows best. But nevertheless, Morana, our du'as are with you, your colleagues, and the Asatiza as well, inshallah.
Amin, amin, inshallah.
Jazakallahu khairan, Morana.
Shukran for this opportunity. Shukran.
Inshallah. We have on air one of my colleagues, and we have on air one of Morana's close friends as well, Morana Abdullah. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Morana, Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with a very good colleague, and Allah Ta'ala has given you an amazing friend in Morana Adam. What can you tell us of Morana Adam?
Subhanallah, Morana Adam. What I can say about Morana Adam, it is the number 313, first of all. Everyone loves the number that is 786, but Morana Adam came with something different. In the story of Badr, Morana took the number 313. In his cell phone number, it ends with 313. In everything that he done, he was looking for the number 313. Basically, that describes Maulana Adam, the love of Sahaba. There was no talk that me and Maulana Adam had, except it was about the Sahaba. We were friends, but our friendship would be, Maulana Adam would come and ask me, Abdullah, do you remember in class, of the Sahib said like this about this Sahaba or that Sahaba? That was the conversation that me and Adam had. There were no jokes. Even if there was a joke, it was about the Sahaba.
Subhanallah.
that was the friendship me and Maulana Adam had. We were close for 7 years. The first year I was in Nazar, he welcomed us. He was one of the students that grew up in the madrasa under the care of Mufti Sahib Yaqub Wali. So Maulana Adam grew up in the madrasa. We all came found him there. We started Nazara. Maulana Adam was doing his. Then Mufti Sahib decided we should do alim course all together. So alhamdulillah, we started. MashaAllah, Maulana Adam would tell us stories about Peter Maritzburg. For us guys from PE, we didn't know Peter Maritzburg. So he would tell us about the black Muslims there, that side, how they are. And he would tell us jokes, tell us stories that we didn't know, that there are such people. That was Maulana Adam. So alhamdulillah, he was soft-spoken, very, very nice person. He's understanding. That's what we said about him. He was down to earth. He would talk to everyone and understand the situation. And there were some times that we didn't understand other people and would see evil. And Maulana didn't see the evil. He would sit down with someone.
Maulana Abdullah, sorry, I think as we were speaking, the line got cut. And we were speaking about Maulana Adam. Maulana, please do carry on.
Oh, okay. Shukran Jazakallah. Maulana Adam, whenever now I have to put a password on my phone, it has the number 313. Because of Maulana Adam, most of my passwords on my devices, my laptops, my email addresses and stuff like that, they contain that number. He is the one that actually started the idea amongst us. So now, when we talk about Maulana Adam, Sheikh, we got out of madrasa. We were thinking, what are we going to do with our lives? What are we going to do? We're going to work. We're going to become imams. Maulana Adam did business. In his business, he went around in his vehicle, in his own, with his own petrol, didn't get paid, giving buyers in the areas in the Eastern Cape, Matatiel and Kokstad, going down that side. Now, this was fascinating. Now, you must understand, I'm sorry I have to use the word as black Muslims. Normally, we are given quotas. We don't buy our own. That's the honest truth. But with Maulana Adam, he would buy his own. He would use his own money to go give bayan in these places. Maulana Adam set a bar that, and I later on in life decided, you know what, I want to be like Maulana Adam, establish myself as a Muslim, that I want to do something for deen. I don't want to receive something for deen. You know, you aspire, Shaykh. Wallahi, he set the bar so high. You aspire, you know what, I want to do something like Maulana Adam. I'll even tell you, when Mufti Sahib had told me, Abdullah, I heard that you're doing a newspaper, but I prefer that you keep trading, you buy and sell something. At that moment, I didn't understand. But when Maulana Adam was doing trading, I then realized, Mufasab was trying to tell me, do what Maulana Adam is doing, and he's doing it right. So Maulana Adam had always set the bar for us. But it took us time to understand what Maulana Adam was doing, his love of the Sahaba. As I said earlier on, when I want to think about Adam, the only thing that comes to mind is his love of the Sahaba. Nothing else.
Maulana, when we would give bayan, obviously it would be very different because the audience would be our local, perhaps indigenous people or people in the villages who perhaps normal ulama or us ulama, rather not the word normal, were not accustomed to. How would he then bring the aspect of Sahaba to the people in the very rural areas? Perhaps give us some insight into that, because I'm just amazed at it, Maulana.
The way that Maulana Adam would do it, he would choose the story that relate to us. There was no task that Maulana Adam would look for other solutions. He would look deep into the story of the Sahaba with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what had been done. So whatever we are going through, whether we are rich or we are poor, we are in suburbs, we are in urban areas, the life of the Sahaba were like that. He had the Muhajirin, he had the Ansar. We got farmers, we got business people. The business people determine the high class, and you have the Ansar, which were the farmers, the low class people. So from the Sahaba, our entire life is set. We've got different people who are walking different lives. And from the Sahaba, the first, if you look at the first ayah of the Quran, Iqra, which is to read. So those people were learned. So if you want to talk about professions in deen, then you understand that there were professional people amongst us that time when the Sahaba were living. So they could get around one would be a plumber, one would be this, one would be that, but still they would make Salah. So Maulana Adam would use such stories, would tell you, why, what you're telling me is not new. This happened in this story like this, like this. What you're telling me, mashallah, I think I remember it happened in Utbah. Or he would come to me and ask, Maulana Abdullah, do you remember an incident like this, like this? Meanwhile, Maulana Adam is trying to sort out someone's problem by using what? The story of the Sahaba. Basically, Maulana Adam was not short of the story of the Sahaba. He would always want to know what had happened because he would find solutions like that. His bayans were like that. Even when he was giving bayans, Maulana Adam is not looking for stories to entertain us in this book and that book. No. Maulana Adam is Quran and Hadith. If he wants to give you a story, he'll also give you a story from the Hadith. And you take a lesson from that.
SubhanAllah. Maulana, what was some of the impact that he had on the people he worked with?
SubhanAllah. Maulana Adam was working at Siyabonga, Office of the Hardware. SubhanAllah. Maulana Adam, he made everyone laugh. He made everyone cry. Everyone loved him. If I have to talk about Hafiz Nadim, they used to work together. They used to be so close. But the non-Muslims, you would see them, they would always come to the madrasa looking for Maulana Adam. They would greet him wherever they are. He was such a loving person. He was like the bridge. These people didn't know Islam. We were Muslims, but Maulana Adam is the bridge to bring these people to understand what we are upon. He was this kindness that would make people understand, okay, these are good people. These are people who are worshipping Allah. These are the people who are worshipping the one God, the true God, the Creator. Because we can see this person who is in charge of us. Because Maulana Adam was placed in a high position where he used to work. He had people under him. So he was very kind towards them. That no matter what else was happening, these people were still convinced that Islam is good. So that was Maulana Adam when he came to work. The drivers, they used to come pick him up, driving trucks and everything. They were always happy. Always happy with Maulana Adam.
Maulana, we've covered quite a bit. If there's anything that we haven't covered that you would like to add, Maulana?
Well, Ish, Maulana Adam, I don't know what I've left, but Maulana Adam, I'm sure Mufti Yaqub Vali, he was struck with this because he was the one that loved him the most. The relationship between Maulana Adam and Mufti Yaqub is that of a father and a son. So the main worry was, when this happened, I wonder how Mufti Saab is doing. So as I phoned Mufti Saab to tell him how he's doing and everything, he was on his way already for the janaza. He was very emotional, very, very emotional. And I remember one time me and Maulana Adam were supposed to come to class, and for some reason we were not in class. Now Maulana Adam, when he tells you something, he wants to scare you, he can scare you. So you know, he told me Mufti Saab is looking for us. Mufti Saab is going to kill us. Dead, Abdullah. The Jamaat people were there looking for us. Abdullah is going to kill us. Dead. You, Abdullah, don't go to class now. Now, wait for Mufti Saab to cool down. The way he would, Maulana Adam would always exaggerate. And I remember one time, he would tell us, in Maritzburg, there's one brother, when he gives Azan, he actually takes his other feet, puts it backwards, and he acts as if he's stepping on something, and he gives Azan. And now when he was asked what he's doing, the brother said, no, he's standing upon Shaitan with the other feet. And Maulana Adam would always tell us that joke, and he would even make actions. He would put his hands in his ears, and he would make the Azan like the guy is making with his other leg far back, stepping on something. The guy is stepping on Shaitan. And he says that those are the people in Maritzburg, my brother. You must come visit there. So he had a sense of humor. Even his jokes are based on Deen. He will go out of his way to make us laugh. He will tell us something about Deen.
No, Maulana, he must have been an amazing person. Allah Ta'ala bless him and his family. Maulana, was Maulana Adam married?
Maulana Adam was married, alhamdulillah. Maulana Adam got married after Madrasa. And alhamdulillah, that time was in business. Also, his wife, alhamdulillah, she was also doing business. So they did business together, alhamdulillah. She, I think Adam was teaching her as well. But they were staying in Cox at the time. That was before I left for PE. So we didn't know much of her. Alhamdulillah. So we also had the Arab Ustad, Mawlana Abdul Hamid. So from Mawlana Abdul Hamid, we learned to distance ourselves from other people's practical wives. So we don't know nothing. We don't even know their names. So Alhamdulillah, you know how Arabs get put to ghairat. So Alhamdulillah, Mawlana Abdul Hamid at least rubbed it off from us. So we don't know nothing about Mawlana Adam's wife. We just stayed away.
No, Alhamdulillah. And Mawlana's family, Mawlana's got children?
Not that we know of from his wife after Madrasa.
No problem, Mawlana. Mawlana, Jazakallah so much for your time this evening. It was so inspirational regarding Mawlana Adam. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless you, bless your friends, those that know Mawlana, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant you all ni'mal badal, inshaAllah.
Ameen, ameen, shukran to
Jazakallah so much, Mawlana.
Ameen.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Respected ulama, respected listeners of Radio Islam International, it was very inspirational and a very motivational program. One, Mawlana Adam Imtolu, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Mufti Saab, Mawlana Saeed, Mawlana Abdullah, Mufti Niyaz, all spoke very greatly of Hazrat Mawlana Adam Saab. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept all the khidmat that he had done, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant ni'mal badal to the Ummah, inshaAllah. Really a program that had many lessons. Time doesn't permit us, but perhaps at some point to go through some of the lessons of Mawlana Adam. We take the aid for the hour, inshaAllah, and thereafter we will close the program. We would just like to say, you know, condolences, our companion Mawlana Ismail Baracha lost his wife today. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant her the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Allah fill her qabr with noor. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make her qabr from the gardens of Jannah. This is the sister of Mawlana Musa and Mawlana Isa Badat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make it easy for them as well. Also, one of the senior ulama, Mufti Ayyub Saad Mullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi, passed away. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for their children as well. Mufti Saab was one of the senior alims. It was at the Benoni Muslim School. Mufti Saab was staying in Rainsford. So Allah Ta'ala, the system of Allah, that none of us will be here forever, but nevertheless our preparation for the Akhirah is paramount. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the understanding. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Brother Usama behind the controls, and the team at Radio Islam International, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.